What is this?
It's Kenny Loggins.
Gotcha. So, in honor of Dowell Loggins getting the interview today for the Dolphins head coaching position, Valero is going to play songs.
A couple of songs.
From an artist who's got so many hits, you'd be hard pressed to hear one that you didn't recognize. Here it is.
Caddyshack?
No, this happens to be... Well, this really isn't the Caddyshack.
It's a theme.
No, it's not.
Caddyshack 2, not
right.
Caddyshack 1.
Yeah. The Caddyshack theme from Kenny Loggins is one of the most widely known Kenny Loggins songs.
Footloose?
No.
Oh.
I'm All Right. Go get that. Get that. Kenny Loggins, okay. I'm All Right. Because everyone knows that song because it's from Caddyshack. No one's seen Caddyshack 2. Jackie Mason starred in Caddyshack 2. Ira's probably seen Caddyshack 2 because Jackie Mason was in it. Ira Winderman's on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. You're going to find that song, Ira. I bet you've seen Caddyshack 2 because of Jackie Mason.
Unfortunately so, and no, it was not Ted Knight reprised. In the all-time pantheon of follow-ups and sequels, among the worst or the worst, Hawk?
Yeah, it's among the worst. I'd have to think about it a little bit to get something that's up there. What are you looking at?
Kenny Loggins.
Why?
His eyes are on the side of his head like a deer.
You mean like now?
Look, goodness gracious. He can see 360 yeah. degrees around his head.
Got to keep that skin tight.
Wow.
Do you have the song I'm All Right? Yeah, this is from Caddyshack. Everybody loves this. Have you ever seen Caddyshack, Valero?
No.
Never saw Caddyshack?
I'm not a big golfer.
It has nothing to do with golf. It's just funny.
The caddy.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
He started off good yesterday. He had to start off bad today.
Ira Winderman covers the NBA in Miami Heat for the Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Yeah, Caddyshack 2, just compared to what Caddyshack meant in the pantheon right. of, like, iconic lines and scenes and actors, Caddyshack 2, that was a national embarrassment, if you will. There's no question there, Ira. I'm just looking for confirmation.
I will confirm that and try to move on to something more riveting.
All right. Well, I don't know if that's going to be possible, but we can try. Nice victory by the Heat last night. They're, 500? They're the sixth seed in the East. Yeah. I think they were when we spoke with you last week. Now, explain this to me, though. They lose to the Atlanta Hawks, but then they handle the Celtics. So explain to me what I'm missing.
Well, I'll explain to you better this way about what Eric Spoelstra did at practice today, where he just came off as an angry man that almost wasn't taking questions and was trying to make a point. And the point was, we've got to build off of wins like this instead of getting wins against Milwaukee and Houston and then going ahead and losing a game to a bad team after that. So the whole point going forward from Eric Spoelstra is don't get too full of yourself when you're still a 500 team that has never been more than one game over 500 this season. And the reason he's doing that is because the Heat play Memphis tomorrow at American Airlines Arena, which not only ends a three-game homestand, but then they go out on a four-game trip. So he's sort of like, forget about all the plaudits and national TV and what you did with the Celtics. Let's see if we can sustain something, because that's the one thing the Heat haven't done this year. They haven't sustained anything, and I think he wants his team to try to get on a legitimate get above 500 type of role.
I can't overlook it now, because the first time I didn't have to go to Sun Sports to watch a Heat game this season, that's when Dwayne Wade has his career high. Dwayne Wade decided to play because he was on national TV. If he plays that way, we'll never lose to the Hawks.
Dwayne Wade decided to play because at his age, it's a sometimes kind of thing, and last night happened to be one of those sometimes kind of moments, and his team desperately needed it. And that's the thing. I mean, there is no one to take charge right now. We're sort of all hoping that Deion Waiters comes around a little, but when you look at a box score at a game like last night, and even when you beat the Celtics and you realize that there's no one who had more than Dwayne's 19 points, Jay Rich had 18, and that's it, no one more than 14, there's no leading man on this team. And God bless him. The fact that Dwayne Wade, who's about to turn 37, could have moments like that is great. But there's just no it guy on this roster. And when there's no it guy on your roster, you never get better than sixth place in the Eastern Conference.
And we've said that for a while regarding the NBA, right? You need that. And that, I guess, was kind of the question about Jimmy Butler. Is he enough to be that guy when he was available?
He would have been more than what they had. And so now, you know, those guys rarely come on the market. So you seize the moment when they did, which is what Pat Riley tried to do. I don't see that coming available again this season. But it just shows you nothing is dramatically going to change for this franchise until they find a way to get that guy, whether it's in the draft, whether it's in free agency, whether it's in a trade, whether it's taking a long view like the Dolphins and building up the assets to get in that position. But right now, there's just not a guy you could say that player X is going to carry us for the next 2 weeks. Because they're lucky if they find player X to carry them for the next two games.
We're 40 games into an 82-game season. Is there anything that you were dramatically or drastically wrong about this Heat roster? Or anything where you were like, wow, I was totally right on that?
I guess I was wrong about Justice Winslow not taking three steps. I thought he would be a gradual, take one step at a time, and this still would play out over the next 2 or 3 years. And I think the Goran Dragic injury opened the void for him. But, I mean, you look at Justice's stat line last night. Not overwhelming scoring, but 13 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, only one turnover. And all of a sudden, I realize he's a very viable piece of this team's future. This team has wonderful complementary pieces. They just don't have anyone to compliment right now. So I think the kid's stepping forward. I think Justice stepping forward. I think Bam stepping forward. I think Derrick Jones Jr. stepping forward. So again, if we started the season and said, wow, the Heat have 6 really good complimentary players, now they have 9 really good complimentary players, but still no one to compliment.
I was just going to say that Ira Winderman is with us, and I'm looking at businessinsider.com. They've got the 45 worst sequels in the history of movies. Caddyshack 2 is number 10 on the list, Ira.
What's number one?
Jaws the Revenge.
Okay, that's a winner.
And I think we talked about that once. That's where I believe it, like the movie poster inexplicably was this time it's personal. So like it was personal for the shark on that one. I mean, you could see where that one might be a bad sequel based on how good Jaws was, that this time it was personal. And if I remember correctly, when we talked about this inexplicably a few months ago, Jaws went to Orlando to track down his prey, which is landlocked. So I'm not exactly certain how that worked.
Jaws got his feelings.
You know, it's funny because it was more Sharknado like.
Right.
And I actually remember when you were at the other station and in advance of that sequel were interviewing the shark. It really didn't go well then either.
Number two, Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2. I don't remember Baby Geniuses 1. Number three worst sequel of all time, Police Academy 7, Mission to Moscow, which really, that's on you if you saw that.
Right. If you're sitting through the first six, then you're probably so comatose at that point anyway that it really doesn't matter.
Number four is Highlander 2. Number five is The Sting 2. The Sting, an all-time classic movie. Yes. Number six, Staying Alive, which was a sequel to Saturday Night Fever. Number seven, Daddy Day Camp. That was a sequel to Daddy Daycare.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I don't even think wasn't who was in Daddy Daycare? Was that
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Wasn't Adam Sandler and Jeff Garland, I think, or something like that?
I thought it was Eddie Murphy.
It was Eddie Murphy in Daddy Daycare.
Really?
Yeah, but he's not in Daddy Day Camp. just so you know, the number eight worst sequel of all time, Speed 2, Cruise Control, which was the sequel to Speed with Keanu Reeves. Number nine, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and number 10, Caddyshack 2.
And that's the thing is, if the original movie is such a unique premise that it comes out of left field, like, hey, let's do a movie about caddies or about a bus that can't slow down or something, you can't follow it up because it's the uniqueness of the original movie that's sort of a one-time thing. Even sort of the sting and the whole sort of grifter approach and all that and Jodie Foster being so young, you're not going to reprise that, but I guess if there's a buck to be made.
Ira, going back to Hawk's question, the biggest surprise this season to me is that there's two teams under 70% from the line, and the Heat are 69% on the season. They're 29th in the league. Why can't the Heat shoot free throws?
Well, a lot of it is Hassan Whiteside. I mean, let's face it, you always see a team when Shaq was in the league, whether it was the Magic or the Lakers, his team is going to be down. Hassan's not getting to the line as much anymore. He was just 1-for-2 yesterday, so that helps a little bit. Dwayne Wade at times has been a little shaky also, which is kind of strange. But I just think it's a factor of the players you have at the line. And I think if you take out Hassan's numbers that had weighted them down, they wouldn't be that bad. But you're right. When you have such a fine margin, Channing, that you have to do the little things. Like Eric Spoelstra said yesterday, the rebounding, and they finally came around against the Celtics. You can't be off on the little things. Those free throws probably swing the Heat's record maybe 2-3, maybe even 4 games this season.
Number 23, worst sequel of all time, is Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And, I remember that also.
And it says...
Again, unique premise. By the way, I can't wait till Falero tries to cut this up for the replay later in the show with the 19 non-sequiturs you have. So I know what's going to happen. You're going to have a long break. You're going to go to Falero. Just do the basketball stuff. He's going to be in your ear going, there really wasn't a lot of basketball
stuff. Hey, man, if you wanted it up to me, I would take out all the basketball stuff.
Exactly.
I don't feel like we've spent enough time on the sequels. Crocodile Dundee, just listen to this. Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. The Chicago Sun-Times said, I've seen audits that were more thrilling.
Yeah, you know, again, unique original movie. Who are you kidding? I mean, the fact that I'm surprised there's nothing from the Rocky franchise in there.
Taken 3 yeah. is number 25. That was garbage.
Yeah.
Taken was so good. Taken 2, you could even go, okay, I want to see Brian Mills.
Keep going over there?
Taken 3.
Keep your ass at home.
Yeah, you know what? Get a quiet house, like a cabin somewhere.
Homeschool for everybody.
Number 30, A Good Day to Die Hard. That was like the fifth.
That was with his son. That was garbage.
Is that the one where they were like computer hackers or something?
I don't know, but his sons, John McClane, whatever his name was, son was there. It was terrible.
Poltergeist 3. Looking at something. The Hangover Part 3. That
was just told
garbage.
You he wants to talk some basketball.
Oh, yeah, it's my show. Let him go on with Dono and Frito if he wants to talk basketball.
All the Hangovers after the first one were just hellaciously awful because the first one, again, was just so unique.
Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
That was funny.
Oh, they've got Friday After Next on the list. Number 40, The Fly 2. Rocky 5, there you go. Number 42, Ira, Rocky 5. All right, let me ask you something quickly. Dave Hyde, I'm gonna shift gears away from basketball.
Absolutely.
Dave Hyde wrote a column in the Sun Sentinel. The title was, "We Lead the Leagues in Losing, but this South Florida team disappoints the most." Did you read that column?
Yeah, I did. I even spoke to Dave about it. Basically, I called him and said, "You wrote a hockey column?" So, yeah.
I don't know if people were up late enough last night. Panthers, I mean, just a brutal loss.
I was. For once, I had a chance to drive home, to sit here, and to watch that third period, and thinking maybe they deserve good things. And Reimer made an unbelievable save with about 15 seconds to go after Edmondson had pulled the goalie. Basically, even Goldie knew it. There was one shot left in regulation. Boom, 8 seconds to go. They lose it. They have chances in overtime. Then they go to the shootout, and it's like they can't have good things.
Yeah, it was unbelievably frustrating loss last night for the Panthers. But do you agree with Dave Hyde in the Sun Sentinel that this South Florida team, the Florida Panthers, disappoint the most?
For this reason, of all the teams down here, they probably have more star talent. We just spoke about, you know, depending how you edit this interview a few minutes back, about what the Heat don't have star talent-wise. All year you've been saying there's been no one with the Dolphins, including Tannehill, that you want out of here. Even the Canes weren't sort of the talent that we thought they had. The Marlins never professed to have talent because if they find any, they trade it. But when you look at Ekblad and Huberto and Barkov and what we thought Luongo would be coming back, and even Yandel making the All-Star game, there is too much there for them to be who they are. Look, I loved what Bob Bugner brought in here when he first came. I think he had the right approach. But I really am shocked, one, that he's still the coach. And if this continues, I'd almost be shocked if they lose that Montreal game, huge game. I think it's next Tuesday. Then I think that could be it. Hockey fires their coaches every 10 minutes. I mean, I'm watching the game last night, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's Ken Hitchcock? You know, it's like they recycle their coaches and everything. I think the Panthers not only are the most underachieving team in the country, but I think Mark Richt won't be the last major coach out of here in a 2 or 3 week period. I think Bob Bugner's really got to be on a hot seat. Now they have to do something. They shook up their lines in the game last night. It didn't matter. They played Reimer ahead of Luongo, who struggled. It ultimately didn't matter in the shootout. I don't know what else is left for them to do.
So you don't think that the boogeyman is long for South Florida? Because
you know
obviously
what? It's not fair. It's not fair, but I don't for this reason. What you do, number one, is you can shake up your goaltending. They have done that or tried to do that. What you do, number two, is shake up your lines. They thoroughly did that last night against Edmonton. So I think it's not fair to him. But you've got to show the fans and got to show your players you're doing something. They've already brought up Borgstrom. I thought that might be the little kick in the pants they needed when they brought him up from the AHL. That hasn't worked. I think they just can't afford another one of these where you and I are talking in late March and April how the Panthers are just 3 points out and they still have one game in hand on the other teams, and we play that game over and over again. They are too talented to be where they are right now.
Well, I guess we better play this as much as we can before Coach Boogner is gone.
Hey, yo, Lightskin.
And the boogeyman, Coach Boogner. Did he change it all? Second year, comfort level, you know, understanding you guys. Did boogeyman change it all this season?
Why do you keep calling him boogeyman?
That's his damn nickname, boy.
But you don't know him. Would you call him boogeyman?
Finney just said it's his nickname. Everybody knows it's on his Wikipedia. Boogeyman. Boogeyman.
Sing along, Ira.
Boogeyman.
Boogeyman. Ira, come on.
Boogeyman.
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 I thought he hung up.
I thought he hung up. A fine human being might lose his job, and then you want me to sing along to it also. How quickly it has fallen. But you know what the beauty of this? And folks, if you are listening to this in the 5 o'clock hour, it is a revelation if they made anything out of this interview, something that could actually endure. As a matter of fact, I think this is going to be the rare time when you send out the podcast without the first hour being included.
Somebody texts in, after taking three, you just have to ask yourself, is Liam Neeson just a bad father?
Yes.
Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. Thank you, Ira. Your insight was something.
I've never lost any of my kids to kidnappers. Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. We'll regain our composure and we'll come right back.